Hello, St. Georgians near and far, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Day 145 of Year of the Bible, and looking at the Book of Esther, a comedy, a tragedy, a really interesting book, unique among Old Testament literature, sort of like Ruth, sort of like wisdom literature. I don't know. It's an interesting thing. All right. So let's jump into it. Esther opens. Thing to understand is that Esther opens in Persia, within the Persian Empire. And remember, the Persians have taken over, defeated the Babylonians. So now the Persians are the big guys on town. And it happens, like halfway through the Book of Ezra. I know it's kind of confusing, but like in Ezra, some of the Jews have started coming back, but not a whole lot have. And clearly, a lot of Jews have stayed in Persia. And we've talked before about why that would be, and we don't need to go into it again. But we've also talked about how the fact that some of the Jews have done well in the Babylonian Empire, now the Persian Empire. And so this, and like, how well have they done? Well, Esther, that is Queen Esther, is one of, is an example of that. But it opens in Persia with Xerxes, King Xerxes. Now, remember, if you're King Xerxes of Persia, of the Persian Empire, and Persia is the biggest empire in the world, the known world, you're a really big deal, right? Xerxes is a really big deal. He's like, think Roman emperor, right? Think Alexander the Great. You're Xerxes, you're a big deal. And he's presented as a big deal. He's a worldwide leader. And the book makes it clear from the very first verse, this is the Xerxes who ruled over 127 provinces stretching from India to Kush, that is the Upper Nile region. So Xerxes, big deal. He has a wife named Vashti. A thing to know about Vashti, is that she is the granddaughter of King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, he was the Babylonian guy who destroyed Jerusalem, all that kind of stuff. All right, Vashti's there. Xerxes is entertaining his people. He asks for Vashti to come out so everybody could admire his trophy wife. She says no. You're not allowed to say no. And so he goes and asks his buddies, what should I do with Vashti? And they say, we can't have women acting like that. We can't have women say no like that. Everybody else's wives are going to hear about that, and they're going to stop being obedient either. So you better get rid of her. All the women will respect their husbands if you come and do that, as if it's that simple. So anyway, so they go and they find Xerxes a new wife, and they do a search and find this woman named Hadassah, whose Persian name is Esther. Now, Esther is the niece of this guy Mordecai, who is a Jew. Now, what exactly Mordecai does sort of day to day is not clear, but he's a major part of this story. Hadassah, also known as Esther, and the New International Version translates Esther's description as having a lovely figure and was beautiful. Mordecai was taking care of his niece when her father and mother died. The circumstances of that are not described. Esther, we'll just call her Esther from now on. Esther, although the fact that she has two names is symbolically important, right? She's living in two worlds. On the one world, she's living in the Hebrew exile diaspora world. On the other hand, she's living in Persia, and now, you know, as part of the Persian Empire, and here even part of the royal family. Anyway, Mordecai. However, Esther does not she is Esther, not Hadassah, as far as anybody knows. She had kept secret her family and her nationality, just as Mordecai had told her. It's going to be safer that way. She found out. So Mordecai found out, and this is important for later. Mordecai found out that two of the king's guards are going to try to assassinate the king. How does Mordecai find this out? Who knows? Mordecai tells Esther. Esther tells Xerxes, giving credit to Mordecai, and the plot is prevented, which is great. Now, there's also a man named Haman. Now, if you are a Jew during, like a modern day Jew during Purim, I would say Haman, and you would say boo, because Haman is someone who doesn't like the Jews. Mordecai, as a result, would not kneel down or pay him honor, right? So he's this important guy, but he's not getting respect from Mordecai because Mordecai's like, no, you're awful. So Haman comes up with this plan to kill all the Jews because of Mordecai, and because he just doesn't like the Jews, most likely for reasons that will, for reasons that he describes to Xerxes. Now, he doesn't say, I'm doing this because I don't like the fact that Mordecai didn't bow down to me, but he says something that is true, which is that he says to Xerxes, there's a certain people, he doesn't say Jew, there's a certain people who are over your kingdom, and they're different, right? Their customs are different. He says they do not obey the king's law, but we don't know if that's true or not. And so Haman says he wants to destroy them. And Xerxes says, all right, if that's what you want to do, if they're bad news, go ahead. And so he sends letters to all the provinces, 127 provinces, saying, kill the Jews. Destroy, kill, and annihilate all the Jews, young and old, women and children, on a single day. A letter sent from the king like this his word is law. When Mordecai finds out, now Esther doesn't know this at this point, right? When Mordecai finds out about this plot, he puts on sackcloth and ashes and goes and wails. He laments, right? Other Jews find out about it, presumably from Mordecai. They all put on sackcloth and ashes and do weeping and wailing. Esther finds out about it from her attendants, and it says she was in great distress. So then the question is, what should we do at this point? Esther says, I can't go into the king's presence, and intervene or anything. And Mordecai says, this is great. Don't think that just because you're the queen, you're going to escape. So listen, they're coming for you too. Don't think you're, living in the royal palace. They're going to come for you too. That's point one. Number point two, Mordecai says, if you remain silent, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. Which is, Mordecai says, oh, God's going to deliver us, but he might deliver us in some other way, and you still get, you and your family still get knocked out. And third point is this great question, and who knows, but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. Who knows, it may be that God has put, he doesn't say this part, but it's implied, that God has put you in this position, in this royal position, for such a time as this. Who knows if Vashti's refusal, which led to her being deposed, which led to the search for you, which led to the selection of you, right? Who knows if all of that hasn't happened precisely for a moment like this. They still don't know what they're going to do, but Esther says, look, go fast for me. Let's go figure out what to do. And that's a typical thing to do. We see that in Jonah. When Jonah tells the Ninevites that God's going to destroy the land, they go and fast. So Esther says, "All right, I will go into the king. And if I perish, I perish." So Esther goes to the queen. So Esther goes to the king and says, "Make me," and says, "Come to a banquet with me." Now the king is clearly besotted with Esther, presumably because of her lovely figure and beauty, but also clearly she's a clever woman, right? So who knows? And Esther says, "I want you and Haman to come to a banquet." Now banquets are prominent in the book of Esther. Remember, it basically opens with a banquet, and Esther is going to use a banquet for her own purposes. Haman is still furious at Mordecai, and even leaving the banquet, he's still furious at Mordecai, even though Haman had been highly favored by the king and is apparently wealthy beyond all wealth, and all this stuff. He said, "I'm never going to be happy as long as that Jew Mordecai is sitting at the king's gate. I'm never going to be happy." And so his wife and his friend said, "I'll go set a poll up, a big one, 50 cubits high, so about 75 feet high, and go tell the king you want Mordecai impaled on it, and then go enjoy yourself at the banquet." And Haman says that's a great idea, and he had the poll set up. Now remember, in Deuteronomy it says something about cursed is he who hangs from a tree. Cursed is the one who is impaled on a pole. And it says that in the Psalms. It says that a couple different places, Ezra as well. So anyway, and that's where chapter 5 ends. Now Esther's only 10 chapters long, so that's the end of the first chapter. So we've now set up the scene for what is to come, right? And now we await the reversal. I think I'll leave it there for today, and we can talk more about the reversal and what it means. But a comic story, a tragic story, both like a sweet and party story and a violent and horrible story. Esther's got it all. All right, let us pray. O God, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All right, have a wonderful rest of your day. Talk tomorrow about the rest of Esther.